is the Power Walk Ministries broadcast, and we're glad that you've tuned in to join us. This week, Pastor Kennings brings us the teaching series, Choices, from 1 Samuel chapter 24. It's easy to make decisions sometimes based on what is popular or more pleasing to family or friends. But what role does obedience to God play in our choices? We see the critical choices that David had to make when faced with Saul, who was seeking to take David's life. Exploring this further, here's Pastor Kennings with the message, Under Pressure.
Years ago, my wife and I decided we'd just go out on a date. You know, this is going to be easier now. The boys are grown now. We don't have to find a babysitter. We're just going to go out and have a good old time and then come back later on in the evening. So we told the boys we're going out on our date night. And this particular time, we're not going to have y'all, you know, either be at somebody's house or anything like that. You know, y'all are what, a junior in high school? This is ridiculous to do any of that. So sometimes we let them be at someone else's home while we're going our date night. But this time he said, no, y'all stay at the house. And my wife, for whatever reason, this woman's sense of things, decided that after we had driven like 20 minutes trying to go out, she says, no, let's turn back. What? Turn back? We've been planning on this. The boys are home. We lay down the rules, you know. Let's just do this. No. I want to go back to the house. Is there something that tells me I need to go back to the house? So we went back to the house. I said, well, at least let's have dinner, you know. Let's have dinner. So we had dinner, relaxed at dinner. We're heading back now. And we got there, and the driveway in the garage is full of cars. The cars are going down the street, and we are going, what? We can't even get in our driveway. So we go to the house, and we act like we're strangers. Hello, who lives here? Just go in there, and I'm knocking at the door, not opening up the door. And I go, who lives here? Their expression in their eyes was, oh, my goodness, this is going to be not good. So we walk in the house, and there were friends there. And I pull my oldest son to the side because, you know, wives are interesting beings, because I could tell that she's just flabbergasted with all of this taking place. She looks at me and she goes, you're the head of the house. Fix this. So it's interesting how they just give you that at that moment. You know, it's like you're the head of the house now, you know. And now I'm the head of the house and all the situations are going in. But I decided that I was not going to embarrass our sons. I don't know who this was about. It most likely was our oldest son, because, you know, he was very popular in high school. He played football. He was achieving a lot of accolades. And maybe they just came over. And that's what we found out later. They just showed up. And they came over. So I decided, no, I'm not going to embarrass him. I know he's a good young man. Let me take him to the side and just find a polite way to do that while I say hi to everybody. They don't need to know our family business and our rules. And very nicely, as we went to the kitchen, acting like we're getting something, and I said, son, you know this is messed up. Because, yeah, Dad, I didn't ask him to come by. I didn't call anybody, I promise. You could check and see. I didn't call anybody. There was no call. They just showed up. They just decided to come over. And it just happened that y'all not here. I said, okay, you know, I always had a rule. I will trust you until you violate trust. So you're trusted. I had no reason to distrust you. So I will not take away trust from you when we have no facts to do that with. So I said, okay. I said, son, how do you plan to handle this? And he came up with a plan, and we talked and laughing like in the kitchen, came up with a plan. He went out there, and eventually his friends, they eventually got in their cars and leave. And then when he walks back in the door, that's when dad is no longer the head of the house. The response was there. And my thing to him was, son, they made a decision. You still had a choice. You still had a choice as to whether or not you're going to follow the rules and keep them at the door or let them in. You still had a choice. But because of who you are, of how you are at school and people looking up to you, that guided your decision making. You see, many times, because we have achieved a lot, because we are now, we've got a master's degree or PhD, or we now have this size church or live in this kind of neighborhood and drive these kinds of cars. So when we come with all these accolades to God, he doesn't see the accolades that dominates the decision-making process. He's saying the word of God is powerful and sharper than a double-edged sword. He sees the word of God is what he spoke into being that made the world operate and the universe function. He says the word of God God manages everything in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through verse 4. The whole world is held together being responsive to His word. It is not a matter of what scientists are saying. Scientists are reporting what God is doing. They're not making God do anything. You see, so that's why what David is faced with in 1 Samuel chapter 24 is the fact that he is an anointed king. David is a person who killed Goliath. David is a person who has developed a mighty group of men, 400 strong soldiers that would go against the Philistines, go against different people and fight them off. David had this massive group of guys who so believed in him, so trusted in what he was doing, that they would go through the night to get him the water just because he made a comment. They would go through the night to fight for him to get the water. That's how loyal they were to him. And David had these loyal men in a cave against an enemy who's constantly attacking him for no reason at all. This is how the enemy would say to David when David confronts him. When David says, it's time to just confront you, Saul. I'm not backing up off of you. There's nobody in here and I'm going to confront you about it. And verse 16 of 1 Samuel chapter 24, this is how Saul describes David, even though he's attacking him. In verse 16, it says, and it came to pass when David had made an end of speaking these words unto Saul, that Saul said, is this thy voice, O son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. He knew he was wrong. You know what he was doing was evil. In verse 17, he said, and he said to David, thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. For thou hast shewed this day how thou dost well unto me, forasmuch as when the Lord had delivered me into thine hand, thou killest me not. You did the right thing. You're a righteous man, and I'm not. David is faced with this situation, and David confronts Saul, and Saul admits that he's evil in what he's doing. When David is faced with this scenario, and David is faced with these circumstances, and the enemy is admitting this, David says this to him and his men, because his men, they're saying, kill him. You know, he's done all of this stuff. He's wrong. Kill him. And God said, I mean, they spiritualized the thing. That always is a concern of me. Even as a pastor, sometimes I struggle to say God said, unless I could. Concept is vividly clear in the scriptures for me. God can't stand people lying. The Bible many times would say, do not add, do not take. The word of God is complete. It's provided, as we've read two times in this series this week. The word of God is totally comprehensive to deal with any issue that we ever face in this life. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through verse 4. And when we obey it that way, it changes the very nature of who we are. This is the problem with David confronting a person who admits they're evil. This is what's taking place, and this is what David says in verse 6. And he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing, watch this carefully, unto my master. What? David, come on, man. Later on, this man's going to admit he's done wrong. We all know he's doing wrong. We all know the law, and the law does not allow him to go out and kill you. If you don't have a just cause for killing somebody, it's murder. He's just king abusing that law. They could have said all that to David's face. But David says, there's one thing you can't touch. He's God's anointed, and I'm not touching him. This violates what God is saying. So please remember that when we are faced with this situation, it's at the door, but we understand the rules. Our reputation is in our face. We've accomplished a lot. Do we protect our reputation, or do we stand up and do what God says? David could have stood up and said, man, God has already anointed me king. I'm obviously taking over. Jonathan has already made his loyalty to me. So therefore, even if when you die, Jonathan is coming my way. So what you got? David doesn't do that. David, in spite of his credentials, David stuck with what God said. Many times we don't humble ourselves like this. And that's when our decisions become corrupt. We have to maintain the persona at the job. We have to maintain I'm the man in the house persona. And so instead of loving our wives the way the Bible defines love, he says, I will affect how your home operates because you choose to mistreat the wife. So he doesn't give us, because we are leaders in our home and the head of the house, that he give us these credentials to abuse the persons. So when we look at this, he's literally saying that a wife that's standing by her husband, you see that with Sarah and Abraham. When you see that, you would see how God worked that out in a powerful way. Why? Because she chose to trust God. And be the helper that God called her to be. And to be the person that God called her to be. So God now fights her battles for her because she stayed within the word of God. She could have said, man, I'm the one in this house bringing most of the money in. I'm the one in this house that is the most educated. I'm the one in the house that had the babies. I'm the one in the house that has bought all this stuff. We could have used all these different things. But what is God saying that I do? Do I throw out the credentials, or do I humble myself, as Peter would say, under the mighty hand of God, so that I will stand against the attacks of the devil? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 through verse 11. Paul would say, I count it all loss for the sake of the cross. No matter what I've achieved, Pharisee of Pharisees, I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. I put it all to the side because I was only after one thing, and that is to experience the power of God's righteousness, the power of the resurrection. I wanted to experience that, and for that I will press towards the mark. That's what he would say in Philippians chapter 3. Verse 1 through verse 16. You see, Paul pressed in that way. He could have gone to the disciples and say all kinds of things. No, I know I'm the one unusually born. I know I don't belong in this crowd, but I will go to the Gentiles and do the work that God has called me to do. And in spite of all the credentials I had, I'm going to come to the folks in Acts chapter 15 and find out what the elders are saying, whether or not I go to the Gentiles and will I get a letter from them. He humbled himself. Jesus Christ is the Messiah who would humble himself. And I saw himself as being equal with God to be something of robbery, but he would lower himself so that he could come into the form of a man. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 through verse 11, and serve us, die on a cross so that he could bring life back to us. This man named Jesus could have brought up all his credentials. Jesus Christ could have said, I don't deserve to die like this. I understand what you're trying to achieve, God, but I don't deserve to die like this. But when he goes before God and cries out to God and says, take the cup, take your anger, take all of the punishment you're going to beat me up with before I get to that cross. Take it away. Take the cup, the anger, the wrath. Take that away from me. God says, no, I'm not going to do it. He says, not my will, but thy will be done. David says, God forbid that I should do this to the person who he chooses to be my leader. God chooses to make him the leader. He's God's anointed. I will not stretch out my hand against him. I will not do what violates God's will. And for that, God blessed David. Even Saul sought to bless David, because David, when he was at the door, still trusted God's rules. Stay focused.
That's amazing, Pastor Kennings. David was not motivated by revenge or even self-defense, but rather made a choice to honor God, and God blessed him for it. For our resources, including this current series, please call us at 281-260-7402. That's 281-260-7402. Or log on to powerwalkministries.org. Another tool that you'll find helpful is Dr. Canning's latest release, Disciples in the Making, Discipling Believers from Spiritual Infancy to Spiritual Maturity. It's a guide and student workbook that you can use for yourself or to disciple others. To find out more, log on to powerwalkministries.org. Remember that your financial gifts are tax deductible. We appreciate your support. To make a contribution today, call us at 281-260-7402 or log on to powerwalkministries.org. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 920-517, Houston, Texas 77092. Now let's remember, David's victories in life were due to God-honoring choices. David trusted God and acted from that wisdom based on God's word. Let's do likewise and see what God does.